to season 7, episode 1 of a Navcast. I'm Johnny, and with me I've got DJD.
Howdy.
And Craig back there in the booth. What's up, Craig? And just to kick us off, I want to bring up that I am moved in. I've been in and out quite a bit this last season, and a big part of it is that I was in the middle of moving. I am recording from my new studio in my new home at the new time that we made specifically so Farmer could make it. I want to throw that out there.
I was hoping you'd bring that up, actually.
And I don't know about you, D, but have you noticed that there's someone who's not here?
It seems like Farmer couldn't make it to the preferred day that he would prefer for, you know, us to record.
Farmer couldn't make it to the time that he forced us to change our recording time to so that he could make it? What? That's crazy.
Any time, by the way, that gives us half as much time to, like, actually produce the podcast in terms of, like, making right. in and out to all our services.
Right, exactly. I did, So now we used to record for me living in Japan, which is +9 GMT. We used to record Sunday afternoons for me from like before your guys' time change. We started at 1:30. Now it's 12:30. Right. And so basically I was just busy on Sunday, and now we record on Tuesday. And it's funny because I've got back to back meetings on Tuesday. Now I have like an early morning one, a mid morning one, and then this recording. Boom, 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 boom. But it does open up my Sundays. So I also am a fan of the new time. Not that anyone listening knows that for them, it's the same all the time. Right.
Yeah, it's all the same to me, regardless, usually. And usually I actually have a morning shift on Mondays, so usually it works out for me a little bit better, but not always.
That, and we are closer, though, so we have half the time, but the news we talk about is closer.
Sure. Though. Yeah, no, that's true. Especially towards, like, actual release of the episodes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, exactly. Exactly. So, like, if we talk about anything that's, like, super current, it will be relatively current by the time the episode comes out, as opposed to a week late.
Right. Like Phantom Menace being in theaters like this weekend, you know, that might actually still apply to you.
Yeah, exactly. If you listen to it when the episode drops, maybe you could actually learn some news. And one of the things
using that as an example, just for the record, it's not out in theaters right now, just for the record.
And basically the only thing I wanted to talk about, I messaged you before the podcast, is that Game Informer is back. Which,
that's crazy. That's insane. I did not see that coming.
I didn't see it coming either. Well, and it's funny because I was going to say, like, did anyone ask for it? But I guess a lot of people did. And we even talked about it on this podcast about how bummed we were that Game Informer was going away.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like, honestly, just the fact that Game Informer has been such a pillar of games journalism, specifically with the way that they've done it in magazine form, was just like, it was such a foundational thing. It was just such a, like, this will never go away. It was like the Blockbuster of magazines, right?
Well, geez, what a, yeah. Also, Blockbuster's back. That would be
awesome, insane. Though.
It would be incredible if someone bought Blockbuster and brought it back. But they brought the whole team back as well, right? It's not just that Game Informer was bought, but, like, literally Game Informer is back. And I don't know about you, D, but I am not going to get a subscription.
I actually will, probably. Especially since they said that they're going to bring back the physical magazines. I really enjoy the, like, it's one of the few physical things that I actually really like having around that I miss, is having those. And also, the main trepidation or, like, resistance that I've had to having Game Informer, like, during the last, like, few years has been its association with GameStop.
Right.
And now that it's no longer affiliated, I'm like, oh, yeah, no, I actually do want to support this. Like,
well, and that's an interesting thing, though, too. So it was like a journalistic, you know, games journalism, but it was also owned by GameStop, which is a retailer, right? So I don't know. It would be like if Apple owned, like, what is it, Mac Rumors? Right? Like, the right, really popular Apple thing. And then they're like, it's a little interesting, but I'm excited. Do you know anything about this company that bought them, though? What is it? Gunzilla Games? I don't know anything. Have they made something that I would be familiar with?
I don't think that I really know anything about them. I wasn't sure exactly how this this acquisition and this like re-emergence happened necessarily, actually. You're actually more up to date on the news of that than I am.
I really have no idea also. I'm like, Gunzilla Games do they even have a Wikipedia page? Like, have they released any games? Let me quick pull it up.
I don't know any details, right?
There's a game I'm just gonna spitball here coming called Off the Grid, which is a free-to-play battle royale game. It's in early access. It's set to release on PS5, Xbox Series, and PC via the Epic Game Store. Interesting. Not on Steam Deck. Huh. But other than that, they have their website.
Yeah. Which I'm tempted to actually subscribe just for, like, the ability to browse their website right now, just because of nostalgia.
I'm really... Well, and, so, no, I mean, but Gunzilla Games I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Here's a weird part. I'm on their website, so we're getting into a really specific thing here. They have a bunch of job positions that they have listed on here. A lot of them are based in Kyiv, in Ukraine, I'm assuming. Seems I'm kind of surprised by this, but Kyiv, Frankfurt, and London. So it's not a US based company. That's probably why we're not super familiar with it.
I wasn't sure too, like, how much like their employees had to do with it coming back, because like all of them staying on kind of speaks to me like they have like some kind of like investment, so to speak, mm-hmm. on some level. And so I wasn't sure if like they were like helping form like an organization, like an LLC or something, to like bring it back, or like whether it was like an outside investor bringing it back. And it could be like both, essentially, with like this Gunzilla Games kind of helping. But yeah, in any case, I think it's ultimately a really cool thing. I don't know if it's I don't know that I'd assign like a moral like level to it of it being good necessarily. I think. But these people keeping their jobs is good. I would say that, you know.
I would agree. No, I would agree. And it seems like they're getting a lot of freedom. Just based on the article that they wrote, it seems like they have... I'm honestly, if I didn't live in Japan, I might actually sign up for it. I just feel like they probably won't mail over here, you know.
Fair. That's fair. I mean, yeah. Also, Electronic Games Monthly, I think, recently did like a Kickstarter thing as well. And they've been going since what? They went from like 1988 to like 2013, I think, or something like that. And here's a weird thing. Almost wanted to sign up for that, but I was never that big a fan of EGM. So
the editor in chief of Game Informer, his name is Matt Miller. Which is funny because I actually know a guy who he lived here in Japan, and his name was Matt Miller. Not the same guy. So I'll throw that out there. Different guy. You know, and him and I didn't get along very well, so maybe I won't sign up with Game Informer because of this Matt Miller. They have a YouTube video? Interesting. Of an announcement. But yeah, other than that, I wasn't really prepped for anything. Did you have anything you wanted to cover this week?
First of all, that Stars Reach game surpassed its like Kickstarter by a huge amount. They just closed it at like 650K or something like that.
Ooh.
So that's really cool. They shouldn't like necessarily be like, unless they overreach, they shouldn't necessarily be in a bad spot in terms of funds, which is really good. I can't say enough how
It's $762,000.
Wow. I checked 2 days ago and it was like 650. So, okay. All right. That's cool. Yeah. But like them actually having like a tangible laid out plan, I think is really comforting to me. Hopefully those are realistic goals. I'm not a game dev, so I don't necessarily know, but it seems like they know what they're talking about and they're setting pretty reasonable goals, and that's good. So we might, like, you know, see this game pretty soon-ish, which is cool. Also, Asus actually teased today a little, like, promo video that seems to be, like, teasing their Xbox handheld.
Like, oh, really?
Third-party Xbox-branded handheld. It was super teasery, you know? There wasn't any, like, necessarily, like, direct references. It not even an like they showed an Xbox controller and a ROG Ally like together, like as a little robot beams up or whatever, and like, but like that seems like enough to be like actually pretty solid confirmation that they're the ones doing it and that it will be coming this year. So
that's kind of cool. Yeah.
It almost makes me regret getting my ROG Ally. But honestly, I've played my ROG Ally enough and used it enough that I'm totally fine with it. And honestly, also, if this thing ends up being like similar specs wise, like I probably won't get it anyway because I want the first party device, you know, in a couple of years.
Yes and no. I think one of the things I love about my Steam Deck in the end is the joysticks feel really good. Everything about it feels good, right? If Xbox makes a handheld and they get that Xbox controller feel, because I love the feeling of like the Xbox controller, right? If they get the buttons and the triggers and the, you know, Joy-Cons, the thumbsticks on the Joy-Cons suck, right? Like we all, like the Joy-Cons can be fun for some things, but like the thumbsticks on it need some work. I really hope that they improve it with the Switch 2. But, like, if you could put an Xbox controller onto a handheld, that in itself would be fantastic, in my opinion. Like, I really like the Steam Deck, and I really enjoy playing Steam games and getting those Steam sales. But I've kind of been coming back to Xbox. So one of the things that happened in my move is, you know, I moved the studio into the house, so my Xbox is here. I'm kind of an Xbox gamer a bit again. I've been playing Monster Hunter. You know, split back and forth a little bit. I'm enjoying it. Maybe they're going to get me back, D. I said I was gone, but maybe they're going to get me back.
And hey, if you could play Steam games on your Xbox, that would be pretty cool too.
That would be sweet. Yeah. Like, I mean, why not? Right? Why not at that point?
It's funny because I've seen a lot of discourse over the last week or so that has been negative towards that idea. But every single like piece that I've seen has been from like, you know, people who ultimately prefer PlayStation and are kind of like taking part in that, like that console wars mentality. And like, I mean, like, so, yeah, of course, they wouldn't be happy about that, you know, I mean.
But the thing is that if the infrastructure of the Xbox that it could just work because it's basically running Windows, why not do it? Or with the next evolution of Xbox, why not just do that? Right. And also, you know, for the PlayStation gamers who are still all about the console wars because they're sore winners and they won. Why wouldn't you want that with your PlayStation? Wouldn't you want to be able to just to play Steam games on your PlayStation also? Does PlayStation do mouse and keyboard? Can you do that? Can you hook one up to it? Do you know? You've got a PS5.
You can, but it's like very specific games. It's I think most games don't allow it, like don't have support for it. I think the platform overall might allow it, though. I've never tried with PlayStation specifically. I have tried with Xbox. And Xbox, also, Xbox just does, like, a better job of advertising that kind of stuff, too. Like, when they do that, they make a huge deal out of it, you know?
Well, it's just and interesting because I hate mouse and keyboard, so, like, it's just not even a thing to me. But, you know.
But to them, it's like, it's A, it's another option or whatever, but also it's an accessibility thing. You know, and like they're big on accessibility at Xbox. Like they continually like tout that. Like they just came out with, like two new like controllers that kind of look like Joy-Cons actually.
Oh, sweet.
That are. So like potentially you could use those and it looks like you can swap out some of the pieces of them too, kind of customize them a bit. And then like they have that whole line now of accessories for like people who like can't use a regular controller. And it's like it's really cool to see that expanding, but also these like little Joy-Con things. I mean, they look kind of fun. I kind of almost want to try them out, like, you know, like having a real like need for them, you know.
Well, I mean, maybe you would prefer it. You know, you don't always need it. right? But you just prefer to use it. I actually would love to try one of those more, like, you know, accessible minded controllers, just because it's something different, right? We've been using controllers. I mean, I've been using a controller for what, like 30 years now, you know? Like, maybe it would be fun to try something out. That was one of the things that was fun when the Joy-Cons first came out, right? Was that you could play it not connected. So you don't have to have your hands together. You could play it like with your hands open. I still enjoy doing that.
Right.
It's almost like I picked up my Switch much.
It's almost like, you know, like someone playing like with a steering wheel or whatever, you know, a little bit.
Right.
But it's like first party and designed for it. So it's like, right. Oh, well, you won't run into any of like the weird issues that they run into or whatever. Like, this is actually meant so that you can hopefully like control the game like fully, you know.
And well, and also, ideally, it would like, just be like plug and play, right? You just exactly. get it and it just works.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah,
is the worst thing about playing with a Steam Deck, which is funny because it's like one of the things that a lot of people love. I don't love it. I'm not a fiddler. I don't like right. fiddling with things. And so the amount of time that when I get a game and it's like, oh, you got to fiddle with the settings to make it work. I love using my Steam Deck. I've not loved that. Right. I mean, at this point, if Chiho didn't like to play Marvel Rivals, I would probably have just played it on my Xbox, you know, but now also I have skins and all that stuff that doesn't carry over. But like now, because I have two Xboxes, Johnny, Chiho and I can play together in the house, which is fun. But like I don't love finagling, which that game specifically I have to finagle quite a bit to get it running decent. Like I think I have it at a good like 45 frames a second basically all the time, which I know that a lot of people, they're like, oh my god, just 45. But you know what, on a handheld you don't notice that. I'm playing on handheld, right? You don't notice it as much. You can get away with like a lower fidelity. That being said, there was a couple things I want to talk about on the podcast. One, D, have you played any Dragon Age Veilguard?
I still have not, no. I want to finish Avowed before I go into Veilguard.
I bought it on sale on Steam, and I kind of regret it. I wish I had bought it on my Xbox. On the Steam Deck specifically, it just doesn't run well. It just looks like trash. Even with a lot of finagling, it looks like trash. You know, get a lot of frame dips. I'm super forgiving about that stuff, so you have to know it's bad. If I'm super forgiving about it, it's got to be really bad. Like, it's terrible. And I can't get a refund because I've played 4 hours and you have to play like under 2 hours, right? So there's that. But one thing, this is kind of a really niche topic, but I recently finished the fourth Witcher book. And that one was way better.
Okay. Oh, really?
That's it.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
That's what I wanted to say. You know, we had a whole podcast where I hated on it.
As much as I hate on Aragorn, every single sequel of Aragorn is fantastic. Like, I mean, like, they're all really good, except for that first one. Right.
Except for the first one?
So,
no, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And so, the first couple books weren't great. Dude, the third book, Blood of Elves, that book was terrible. The fourth book, The Time of Contempt, that was actually pretty good. It was, I followed, like, that was much better. So, maybe if you're a longtime listener, maybe put the Witcher series back on your reading list. if I convince you to take it off.
With that review, I might. Yeah. Like, I mean, some things you just need to give a little more time and everything. Like,
right. It's for like instance, the Fast and Furious.
Furious. Well, true, I guess. Yeah. You know what? It's really hard to believe. I'm sure that I felt like pretty like, that was okay at the end of the like seeing the first Fast and Furious movie, you know? Uh-huh. But I mean, like I'm sure I didn't love it as much as I do now, right?
Wait, but I mean, your love has only grown for Fast and Furious. Yeah.
To the point where when people ask like what my favorite movie is, like sometimes I throw out the Fast and the Furious. It's like one of them. It's just like
that's so crazy.
Get the best looks. It's great.
Like when I've described it, I'm like, okay, listen, the first Fast and Furious movie, good. Second Fast and Furious movie, not good. Third Fast and Furious movie, it's a cult classic. It's okay, but it's not the greatest movie. Fourth Fast and Furious movie, it's okay. Fifth, incredible. It's so good. Sixth, also good, but not as good as the fifth. Seventh, rip Paul Walker. Eighth, okay, but not as good as the fifth. Ninth, didn't love the cliffhanger ending. We're waiting on 10, right? We're waiting on 10.
Well, we're waiting on 10-2, no, right?
Nine was fine. 10 had the cliffhanger ending.
Yes.
What even? Wait, hold on. What even happened in 9? Oh, that was with the brother. That was with John Cena. Yeah, 9 was fine, I guess. 10,
yeah.
Cliffhanger ending. First off, Jason Momoa, fantastic. Like, the
addition. It's a plot line that shouldn't work at all, but somehow Jason Momoa is just wacky enough, you know, in it and everything, that he just fits right in the universe. It's crazy.
He's the best thing to happen, like the best villain in a long time. Like, actually, yes, fantastic. Agreed.
Yes, yeah.
But I didn't love the cliffhanger ending, so we're waiting. Also, Gal Gadot is back, but okay, what? Okay. The, what's Han gonna think? The, also Han's back? You know, yeah. There's, yeah, Fast and Furious, but I've described it that way, and I remember, so I was like, but the fifth movie's so good, so you gotta watch all of these to get to it, and someone was like, so you're telling me I have to watch four not great movies to watch one really good one? And I was like, that is what I'm saying. Yes, that's what I said.
Yeah, yes. And you know what? You'll love all of them. Guess what? like when it comes down to it, they all build into something that's like greater than the sum of its parts, you know? I mean, yeah.
Exactly. Like, it's like the MCU. And don't get me wrong, right. I love the MCU movies, but that's part of it too, right? Like, it builds into something that's greater than the sum of its parts. Or the Cosmere. I did something, David. Sure. I introduced Logan to Mistborn.
Ooh, okay.
He just bought a Kindle and he was like, what should I read? And I was like, do you want to read like something serious or something fun? He was like, maybe like both. And I was like, why don't you? He was going to start with The Wheel of Time. Because he was like, I've heard you talk about The Wheel of Time. Maybe I'll read that. And I was like, I think you should probably start with Brandon Sanderson's Cosmere. Why don't you start with the Mistborn trilogy? And he's loving it. He's 100 pages in and he loves it.
Oh, that's so great. That's so great.
For those of you who haven't read it, basically I introduced our very good friend and fellow NAV member, Logan. Basically, I introduced him to drugs. That's what it is. That's what I did to him.
yeah, basically. We're literary drug dealers, essentially.
Yeah, literary. That's the title. That's the title. Literary. Game Informer's back. Literary drug dealers. Yeah, literary
drug dealers. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, but man, it's so anyway, bring us back around. Go ahead and go back and put The Witcher back on the list. It's good. The fourth book, I guess. The fourth book, I thought this is gonna sound weird, I thought it was better than the season of the show. Like, that one was one where I was like, okay, like, actually I think the book did a really good job with this, and like the show struggled. That being said, it is interesting. We've talked about this with like the Expanse show, and with it applies to this too, of it's interesting when characters don't get introduced in books, but they get introduced in shows early. You know?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, Ava Zarala is not in book one of the Expanse at all. And she's a huge part of season one.
Yeah.
And such, just in general. Oh, and just to make this a not game heavy podcast, I totally have not been watching Wheel of Time on TV. I might have to just binge it.
That's my plan, is to binge it. Yeah.
With the move, it totally flew under my radar, you know, as we were just packing everything and doing everything. And then I saw, I follow the girl, the lady who plays Aleda. She also plays Ava Zarala on Instagram. And she posted about like the newest episode. And I was like, oh my God, what? So, we'll have to go back and watch it sometime, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like, it's just one of those things where, like, I almost started it a couple times, and then I'm like, you know what? I really don't want to wait a week to see the next episode, and I feel like that's a show that I could absolutely binge and probably enjoy even more. Like, it's not, like... I find that
so interesting.
Certain shows, like... Yeah.
Go ahead.
Like, well, certain shows, I feel like it's good to marinate on them, you know? Because then you have the discussion, and you're part of the conversation and everything. I don't think Wheel of Time has like the huge, huge audience that like it's a huge conversation. Yeah. Like, right. I mean, like, there's those who, there's conversations you can find, but it's not like you're being left out if you aren't up on the week to week, right? And then like, also, I think that like having read the books and everything, everything's going to be essentially an adaptation with some changes, and the changes will probably be viewed negatively by most of the book readers, at least if going by anything of the first two seasons, except me, because like I understand that adaptation means that you have to make some changes, you know, but and you understand that, too.
Also, and also that the first season was filmed during the pandemic.
That's true, too. Just, and also
just knowing that makes a big difference when you like look back at it, you know.
Yeah, but like also like I think that most of the changes they made, like I think I only had one real problem. And overall, I think season two kind of like. It didn't solve that problem, but it put it more in perspective, I think, where like the power level of like various characters and stuff was like my only real issue with season one. Like, I didn't love like some of the ways that they like portrayed certain things, but like ultimately like the way that like certain characters like are just like way more powerful or way less powerful compared to other characters threw me a little bit, because like there's a very clear hierarchy in the books, I feel like. And you can easily like know like who's stronger than who and exactly by how much or whatever, because they kind of like constantly kind of reference that, like, oh, this person's doing like, well, you know, additional things or whatever. And it almost seems also like most of the power, like the Forsaken are stronger, but they're not like super, super, super stronger. You know, they just know more for the most part. Right. And they're like they're measurably stronger, but like also like, yeah, it's just the show portrays that in a really weird way that like I felt like was way harder to like come to grips with for me. But like ultimately I think the season two kind of put that in perspective.
I guess they have still yet to address and fix that they've done Perrin dirty both seasons.
Yeah, that's true. And Perrin, that's true,
is my favorite. So like on the flip side, am I wrong in assuming your favorite character is Matt?
The
three dudes.
Like, because I really, really, really like Randall Thor. I really do. I think he has a great character arc, and I think him getting stuck in certain places and unable to progress until like something actually like momentous kind of like moves him or whatever until he like has to. He's like kind of like a really cool, like, you know, way to like kind of like show character growth or whatever, but also, yeah, I don't know. Like, probably Matt is my favorite, though. Yeah, probably.
I feel like they've nailed Rand the whole time. That was, like, my whole joke, where everyone was like, I don't like Rand. He's been so whiny, and he's like, I won't do anything until you tell me what's going on. I'm like, that's the most Rand thing I've ever heard, you know? Like, being super whiny and upset about stuff. And listen, I get it. You know, you got the weight of the world on your shoulders. You know, it's up to you to save the world. Listen, I know, because you won't shut up about it. I know. I know that you have the weight of the world on your shoulders. I'm aware. That whole thing. But I feel like season one did Perrin and Matt pretty dirty. Season two, Matt was great.
They really course corrected
on Matt and did a great job. I'm hoping season three will have a similar course correct for Perrin.
I hope so too.
Like get him into where he needs to be.
It's kind of surprising to me that like that book thing that I told you about, like off like a line, like happened so long ago. Because like it almost feels like it was like, so for explication of what I'm talking about, it seems like there was like an additional chapter added to the books at some point to like right before the prologue of the first book, Eye of the World. And that chapter kind of throws some things in there that, like, I don't feel like were portrayed in the rest of the series, really. Like, without that chapter, I feel like it was way more ambiguous and way more open to interpretation. Like, whether, like, Edwin has, like, a crush on Perrin at all, you know? Right. Or that Rand is, like, right off the bat, he wants power, you know? Like, that doesn't necessarily come across without that additional chapter. But with that additional chapter, like, that kind of lays that out. like pretty quickly. And it's like, oh,
but
like
I don't ever remember that chapter. I'm totally with you. Either. And it's like, yeah. I never felt the vibes between Egwene and Perrin when they are together in the first couple books. I never noticed that, which also they made Perrin married in the show, right, which he wasn't married in the book. So like it really changes that dynamic too. In right. a weird way. Yeah.
In a weird way. That's the problem, though, too, is like it's not like, because then there's like this weird love triangle going on. And it's like, ugh, like, you know, I mean, like, because that's not my view of Perrin at all until right. like Listen, way later.
We prefer a like, love square with Rand at the center of three ladies. That's what we want. Have you heard the thing that A Song of Ice and Fire is about a lady and her three dragons, and Wheel of Time is about a dragon and his three ladies?
Yeah. So true, though. Also. It's so true. Yeah. I just recently saw a clip again of like the very end of the Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. And oh gosh. What's his name? Tyrion. There we go. Oh my goodness.
Peter Dinklage.
Tyrion, like basically like resigning his hand of the king or whatever. Like mm-hmm. after the city burned and all that. Spoilers. But also, you know what? You can skip that entire like last three seasons. So you know what? It doesn't really matter.
It's true. It's true.
But it just reminded me like how much I hated like the way that they did those last three seasons. Seeing that clip, it was like, all right, yeah, that's right. They just like completely upended like everyone's character arcs for like no reason. Okay, all right.
He's never gonna finish, right? It's just never gonna happen.
Nah, he'll probably pull like a Robert Jordan pass on, and then somebody else has to finish it for him.
Must be nice. It must be nice.
I mean. Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I do hope that Perrin gets treated better in this season, which I mean, I guess we'll find out. Like yeah. Since it's almost done at this point. Like
is it almost done? Oh my goodness.
I think it's like a few more episodes or something. Yeah. Speaking of though, also like I highly recommend that you watch Severance actually.
So, you know, lots of people have been telling me to watch Severance. I don't have Apple TV Plus. I got too many shows. I got too many shows to watch, but you know what? I'm going to start making headway, I think. I'm going to try and make that happen. I'm going to commit.
Yeah, Severance does a lot of interesting things, which I think are really cool. And they have a really good episode in it, too. That's like one of my, you know, top five episodes or whatever.
Of
TV of all time, I think. Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. They did. They kind of do a Watchmen a little bit in terms of that.
And I know two of your top five episodes of TV of all time. One's from Watchmen. One, I think my top TV episode of all time has got to be 33 from Battlestar Galactica. It's just so well
That's
executed.
Such
and
a
so
good
well
one.
Done.
Like, I don't
it's
understand
such
why
a
they
good
don't.
Episode.
Like, why have the miniseries at all? You know, that like starts it off. Like, why not just start with 33? Like, 33 is such a good, like, you don't really know what's going on, but they introduce you relatively quickly and everything. And like, they fill you in on the lore. It's like, you don't need to know that, like, all the other stuff, like, Baltar almost betraying things or whatever.
Yeah. I didn't see the miniseries first. I did see 33 first. So I'm totally on board with you. I didn't need it. I watched the miniseries and honestly, a little let down by it. Oh, so good. Oh, wow. Maybe I'll check it out sooner than I thought. I don't know. That's sweet.
Yeah.
Is there any other gaming news we want to talk about before we close and get us back into a gaming podcast versus just a old TV shows podcast that we're talking about?
Did you see the speaking of old things and new things, did you see the Minecraft trailer for the new update?
No, there's another update for the game.
They're finally doing the whole like vibrant visuals and stuff.
Oh my god! Like
remember back in the day when they were going to do the ray tracing thing? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're introducing it. Xbox One can do it. Oh my god! What?
Well, apparently they couldn't make that work, but they figured out a way to do it without, like, ray tracing and still, like, get, like, really upgraded visuals and stuff and new gameplay elements. So, like, you can ride a Ghast around, apparently, and stuff. And, like, yeah, it looks like a bit of a game changer, which is, it's really interesting to see, like, this much effort going into an update for, like, a game that's been out so long and hasn't, like, there's been updates. I, like, don't get me wrong, but I mean, like, I feel like, ultimately, it's not that dissimilar to the game that, like, launched, you know? Like, I mean, right, like, well, there's been...
That's the hard thing, right? Is it still this... It's still Minecraft. Like,
right.
And it's like, okay, now... But then you watch people play it, and then they're, like, going to, like, end... They're like, oh, man, we killed the Ender Dragon, and now we're going to the end cities, and we're flying around with Elytra, and flying on gas and stuff. And I'm over here digging a hole and finding diamonds. You know what I mean? Like, it's... But it's still... It's both of these games. Oh, my God. Maybe I'll have to go back to it. I don't know that I've talked about this on the podcast, but I've put in way too much time in Minecraft. I've done a lot of time in Minecraft. You know what I used to do? Because I don't feel like we can do an episode without referencing, like, David and mine's old church and our religious days. I used to play Minecraft while I was, like, listening to sermons. Because I could really mindlessly be, like, digging and doing stuff. And so that's what I did to fill my time when I was a teenager. I would listen to sermons and play Minecraft, which, by the way, in, like, the kind of Christianity we grew up in, video games were, like, really looked down on. So the fact that I played video games while doing that was just totally inappropriate. But I got a lot done in Minecraft. That's one of the reasons I got so much time in. You know, hey,
I appreciate games that, like, make you feel like you're being productive, even though you're just playing a game. OK, I really like that. I also like games that stretch your creative, like, itch, you know, I mean, like, I think that's cool. Oh, speaking of, oh, my gosh, I almost forgot about this, too. Did you see the new RuneScape trailer?
There's a new what? There's a RuneScape trailer? I put in way too much time into RuneScape, too. What?
Yeah, there's it's, like, a whole, like, remake. It's, like, in the same RuneScape, like, universe or whatever, I guess, but it's, like, RuneScape. A whole new RuneScape game.
Oh, my God, I'm watching it right now. RuneScape Dragon Wilds? This looks so cool.
It does. Versus, it, like, actually does look really
the
cool.
The browser-based RuneScape. Is it the same, though? Oh, my gosh, you can build houses. Is it, like, an MMO-type thing? Open-world survival crafting game.
It kind of sort of sounds like it might not be MMO. It might be, like, limited, you know? It might be, like, server-based, like, it, X number of people or whatever. It
launches into early access. Hold on. Is it on Steam Deck compatibility? Unknown. It looks like it should be able to run on a Steam Deck.
It looks like, gosh. Yeah. But it actually does look good. Like, it's like everything old is new again, you know? And I mean, like, that's the theme of Battlestar Galactica, too.
All of this has happened before. Well, let's tie it back in. But here's the thing, though, for me. So, did survival games ever go away? I guess would be my question. Probably not. But, like, I get pretty survival gamed out, personally. We discussed this of, like, I don't want to I already built a super sweet house. Why would I move? You know, kind of a deal. And this being a survival game, I don't know. I have not gone back into and played any more of that Moria game that I was telling you and Farmer to do, you know?
Yeah. Well, like, I feel like no survival games haven't died out necessarily. There's been so many of them that I feel like the audience has been fractured really heavily. Right. Mm. Like there's Raft, there's Valheim, there's, like, you know, like, there's Ark, there's like a dozen. Right. Like,
DayZ.
Yeah.
DayZ one.
Yeah.
7 Days to Die.
Yeah. And a lot of them are kind of like almost like games as a service a little bit, or at least like they're getting like significant updates like every so often and stuff, too. Like, you could probably add No Man's Sky in there a little bit. It's kind of like that, you know?
Yeah, and it's great. And then they're like, hey, guess what? This new update, you have to start this save that you've been working on for, like, months. You've got 3 weeks of game time in. You're going to have to restart, baby. And we're all like, yeah, let's do it. Ugh, brutal D. Maybe we should start an Ark server again. Maybe we should start
it. I think about that way too often, man. I do. I'm like, man, I miss Ark. I do.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, God.
I just don't have the time for it, but I miss it. You know?
I just don't have the time. I don't have the time to, like, manage doing that. I mean, we do have the time, D. We just are doing other things with that time. I've been working on music. I've been working on video game music covers. Oh, that's a good one. For any of our listeners, if you've heard my music and you know my style, if you have any, specifically I'm looking for like Nintendo song video game cover suggestions, do hit me up with those. You can find me on all social media at D-I-J-A-D-I. Go ahead and send me a message there. Let me know what songs you want me to do. I'll start working on them. So now, D, I literally...
Don't read my Twitter, okay? Don't read the Twitter of D-I-J-A-D-I. Don't do that.
I've spent so much time just like listening to game soundtracks, and I have like my notepad open on my phone, and I'm just like writing notes of like maybe this song, definitely not this song, maybe this song. Got anything else you want to cover before we wrap up?
No, I think that's pretty much it. I mean, like, there's the Assassin's Creed GTA 6 stuff or whatever, blah blah blah. Fortnite Whatever. OG Season 3 is apparently coming out soon, you know? I mean, like, some people might be excited about that.
These are all things I don't care about. Yeah.
I mean, like, Shadows, from what I hear, is really good, but I mean, like, who knows when I'm gonna have time for that? I mean, like...
Yeah, listen, Assassin's Creed lost me so long ago, and then, like, and yet I still have spent money on the games, and I just can't. I just can't get into it. Listen.
Yeah.
Listen. It's never been the same since Lucy died. That's all I'm going to say. That's it. It's never been the same.
The moment you spoiled for me?
Yeah. The moment I spoiled for you, that's when I emotionally checked out of Assassin's Creed.
Maybe you were protecting me from checking out of Assassin's Creed, you know?
Maybe after that, it's just never been the same. And then Desmond, yeah, whatever. You know what, though? So talking about the interesting thing of like how people, depending on how old you are when you play certain games, people feel differently about them. You know, one thing that I've been seeing recently, I've been seeing people say that Assassin's Creed 3 wasn't so bad. And like kind of coming around. Yeah, I've seen that too.
Which is kind of crazy because like when it came out, it was like really badly panned. Like it was like, this is the worst entry yet. You know, I mean, like
people hated it.
Yeah.
Everyone hated Connor. Specifically.
Yeah, specifically. I mean, honestly, that's what drove me out of it a little bit. Like, I couldn't actually, like, continue in that just because I had a problem with, like, Connor being a main character and the way that he acted. Like, his behavior was justified, but he wasn't a fun character to play.
Yeah, but it's also interesting seeing here we are. Oh, God. What year would you say that game came out? If you, off the top of your head.
I don't know, like, 2010, maybe?
Oh, close. 2012. Came out in 2012.
Okay, all right.
It's interesting to see us 13 years later and Connor like just not seeming so bad, I guess. I don't know. Like, it almost makes me want to go back and play it again. Honestly. It's one of those, right? Of like, it's like, you know, after Ezio, I could see how people wouldn't like him, right? But now, how many Assassin's Creed characters have we played that like maybe Connor doesn't stack up so bad compared to them, right? I would be interested to go back. Not actually interested enough to do it, but it would be an interesting thing for other people to do it and to talk with me about it.
I might, like, I'm kind of tempted. We'll see how it shapes up, but I'm kind of tempted to do Ubisoft month, and if I do, I'll probably go through the Assassin's Creed in order.
Ubisoft month.
Which will take a long time, but
yeah,
I do kind of want to replay a bunch of those games and then get to the ones that like I never actually completed, like Syndicate or.
But here's the thing, though, too, D, is it won't take long if you just hardcore main story mission it.
True. Right?
You don't do any of the side missions and you just main story to main story to main story. Then it won't take long at all.
And that's what I think I'll do when I get to like Valhalla or even like Odyssey and like Origins, just because they're so vast and everything, like it would just take way too long to like just explore or whatever. But we'll see. We'll see if I'm able to do that or not.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it for this week, guys. And season 7, episode 1. This has been going crazy for quite some time.
Yeah. Crazy. Seven seasons.
And yeah, so you guys know what to do. Make sure to give us a like or a subscribe or whatever. Leave comments. If there's anyone you think that would be interested, you know, D, I actually recommended this podcast to a friend of mine in real life who's like, hey, I'm looking for a podcast. And I was like, I'm actually on a podcast that talks about video games and like popular culture if you want to listen. So if you guys know anyone, do recommend our podcast. We'd appreciate it. And I think that's it. So,
and sorry for our large thumbnails too. I don't know what that comment was about, but apparently that flicks people.
Yeah. Also, like, relax about thumbnails, guys. Anyway, bye.
Get out of here, Craig.